Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Oh,
What?
did you say that you're doing good?
I mean, for a diseased wreck, I'm doing pretty good. Attended constantly by this loathsome cat.
Mays have any antihistamines or
As far as I know,
Nicotine?
he has no redeeming merits whatsoever. He's gone out of his way to be an extra pain this morning so that I would not, I wouldn't think he was trying to treat me special just because I'm diseased. He wants me to know that he's really consistent. No matter what, he's going to be the exact same amount of yelling at me and trying to poop on the floor. So.
That's special when someone decides not to change for you.
Yeah.
That's when it's real.
He's really comfortable being himself.
What are your symptoms? Can I offer any medical advice as someone with WebMD? I have WebMD,
I'm
in
not
fact.
sure if not sleeping is a symptom or if I'm just coincidentally. Maze, don't do that. There we go. He was like launching himself at the plants in the windowsill, which he's not allowed to. There's a lot he's not allowed to do, poor suffering child. They're not very healthy plants. They're like definitely gonna die any minute now, but while they're still alive.
No premeditated murder.
Yeah, if he murders the plants, that's different than if they just die from my neglect, which is their ultimate destiny. It's like if I had a child and I just neglected that child, this is bad. But I can't be mad at anybody else for it. Whereas if someone murders that child, I'm obliged to be upset.
So, only freak accident deaths and natural deaths.
Yeah, those are okay. And honestly, maybe losing the responsibility would be kind of a relief in both the case of the plants and a hypothetical child. But I'm not gonna let Maze. Resolve that issue prematurely. Similar to how if I had a child, I probably wouldn't let Maze murder it, although, depends. If the baby made it so that he had to, I've known Maze a long time, I'm gonna take his word on the situation.
That's loyalty. Are you gonna take the word of your best pal or your child? And at the end of the day, your best pal is probably more useful than your child.
Yeah, been there for you through thick and thin, and now through the death of your child. So,
Easy come.
I mean, my understanding is that it's actually sort of difficult to either procure or produce a child, but one might describe the process as laborious.
I see what you did there.
I'm so pleased.
Still got the goods.
Yeah. Can't stop, won't stop. Yeah, so I'm a diseased and addled wreck, but that means I've had lots of indoor time for reading. So been killing it on that count. Even writing about comics a little bit, which is out of character. I graduated. I shouldn't have to ever use the written word ever again. In fact, we should abolish language. I graduated, so it's time to end language forever.
If they did that, it'd just be a string of memes forever. Just an endless string of memes and Instagram posts for eternity.
That's already the future. Is a lake imprinting on an Instagram post over and over for eternity. George Orwell, 1984. Approx.
Fucking Orwell.
Yeah,
Fuck that. It's pretty much is sort of. It sort of is his fault. The whole advent of technology.
what?
If he hadn't written that gosh darn book talking about fancy whatchamagiggers, they probably wouldn't have made them.
I feel like Brave New World would have still existed, so you can't blame it all on Orwell. There's plenty of other pathological predictors of doom on whom we can pin some responsibility.
Yeah.
Ray Bradbury.
Bradbury's okay. He just made it. It was all in space with him. That's fine.
Indeed, Fahrenheit 451 was decided. I mean, technically, we're all in space. Part two. let me just dig deeper into my pedantry here.
I get what you're saying. Fahrenheit
451 was on Earth. And so were many, if not most, of his short stories. A lot of it's just like the best one is there's this guy, and he's like, oh no, really freaky how I have a skeleton. And this dude's like, you're right, that is super freaky. You should come and get some medical consultation about your freaky skeleton. And then the other guy takes the skeleton out and eats it. So... That's the best one that's on Earth. And no one's invented that yet, so I think we can safely say science fiction doesn't lead to any innovation, or someone would have worked out how to take out and eat freaky skeletons.
Oh, I hope we never get there. I hope we stay in this crazy non-skeleton eating world as long as we can.
I guess that may have been a cult rather than a technology, although, you know, Clark's Law and whatever. Any sufficiently advanced means of eating somebody's freaky skeleton is indistinguishable from magic.
Can't have magic without some cannibalism.
Yeah, it's true. Houdini was known to eat up to 3 stage assistants per year. He just sort of, when he was doing his escapes, first he would eat a stage assistant. And that's why people assume that he, like, did the thing where you, like, tense up all your muscles so that you're larger than their restraints. And then you, like, relax and go back to being your normal size and you slip out. What Houdini did was he ate an assistant whole, so he swole up like a snake. And then he regurgitated the assistant, and that's how he got out of his restraints.
We're gonna get a very terse letter from the Guild of Magic. blowing shit up.
Yeah, a magician never reveals his secrets, but I ain't no magician, so it's fine. So, how are you?
You know... I'm okay. I've been rocking out, looking at that cat in space thing. Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, bless you, Vern's housemate.
Hey. One of my 5 seconds.
You're in the episode.
You're famous now. With only Jeremy Hawkins, so...
He has a lot of pull, Jayhawks.
Yeah, he's very famous and influential.
Things are good. I am doing the breathing a lot.
Super key.
Yeah.
It's a major key, I believe the youths would say.
Watched some Mothra yesterday.
Hell yeah. The original flavor Mothra, or some other different Mothra?
Oh, the original 1965 with Andy Green and Lana.
Nice.
Oh, and I've been using your cat tape to tape up posters on my wall.
I'm glad that's getting a second chance at life.
Use all parts of the buffalo and all that.
Yeah.
I read the Jonesy. I like that a lot.
Yeah. It remains super... Did you see that it's going to be an ongoing?
What?
Yeah! That's so Boom has decreed that it'll be an ongoing. So
what a marvelous time. What a good time for comics.
Right? What an era to be alive in. So far I don't think the other precious youth comic that I am hyped on has been declared an ongoing, but I also haven't purchased an issue since the first one, so I'm not really helping with that. Anyway, Goldie Vance, which is, I think it's written, yeah, it's written by Hope Larson, and it's a detective. It's a teen girl who's a detective in a Florida hotel, and she just solves hotel crimes and resents the rich, so it's a really good...
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Does she like, when she catches someone, and does she, like, looks like you're checking out early, or is there, like...
there is a fair amount of quipping that goes on. She's more the upbeat and chipper type than she is the, like, stone-cold deliver-a-quip-and-walk-away type, but there's a large cast. Someone might get really into Stone Cold quips.
I hope. You know, detective genre is like such a fine art, and as long as someone is like snarky, it's always a hit.
Yeah, I don't think there's any finer genre. Go so far as to say that there is no better genre than detectives. It's the best one there is. I realize that's, you know, science fiction exists in this world and is a thing of beauty, but you can have space detectives, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want a detective in any genre?
Yeah, any at all. You can just plug detectives right in there, and it makes it a billion times better. That's why Asimov stopped writing his more successful books and just wrote his weird robot detective books forever instead. He knew what was what.
The people had spoken.
Yeah.
They were like, we want robots.
So, Red Jonesy liked Jonesy. Have your feelings on Jonesy changed it significantly or in minor ways, or is it pretty much like, yep, Jonesy, still keeping on?
The cuteness used to bother me, but now I like it, and yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. It's very infectious.
It's worn away at your defenses?
It's like whittling away at my cold exterior. It's like, all these bright colors, they make me sick, but I love them.
I don't think anyone's really fooled by your jaded exterior. I think we all knew that series was going to work for you.
Yeah. She's so punk. She becomes increasingly more and more punk, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, she's unstoppably punk. Oh, how do we feel about the decision to have a child get a tattoo in that comic?
I think that was pretty daring. I think that's good. I think that's good parenting. Fuck it, they got the same tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, kid could have done their own awful stick and poke. So if your kid seems like someone who might give themselves an awful stick and poke, far better to get a matching tattoo with your dad. Like, damage control.
I've seen many stick and pokes, and they are never good.
Yeah, a bunch of the sort of last group of kids I knew at Hampshire got into stick and pokes for a minute. And I'm not judging their aesthetic choices. I just feel like Jonesy would have probably done a bad job of it. Nothing we know about Jonesy so far has led us to believe that Jonesy would do a really good stick and poke.
It'd be like super misspelled and or a large and unwieldy, which is okay, but not if you want something on your body forever.
Yeah.
So, did you get sting and poked, or was that?
No, like... absolutely not. Heavens forfend. I don't trust anybody's hygiene that much. If the government doesn't have to give them a license, I'm not letting them inject me with things.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, that might be my most reasonable stance.
If it's not cleared, I'm not letting it inject me.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Really strong personal rules about what injections can happen and under what circumstances.
Hospitals must be rough.
I mean, I assume most people who do the stabbies in hospitals have some sort of license to do it. Maybe that's not true?
I think they just let it's a volunteer basis.
Uh-huh. Well, good thing I haven't gone to the hospital in a really long time. Because under my new regime of not letting myself get stabbed by amateurs... When I was Jonesy's age, I probably would have gone for a stick and poke. So, I would not have gone for a matching tattoo with my dad when I was Jonesy's age. I would have rather have been flayed alive.
You don't want a tattoo of that you and your dad share?
Also, my dad was a computer programmer, so it would have been an extremely boring tattoo if we'd been like, let's get something based on your job. Some JavaScript? Would have been terrible. Would not have looked good at all. Not a good look.
Oh, JavaScript. Oh, you poor bastards.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I don't have to know any nerd shit ever. I say in profound denial. What else have you been reading? Are you keeping up with whatever the fuck DC's new thing is? Is it Rebirth, or is that the new Marvel thing? I don't know.
The...
Because they ended DCU, and they were like, let's do this other thing, where it's gonna not be DCU anymore, it's gonna be some new clowns.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep away from them, because they keep breaking my heart. From what I understand is that they're getting rid of the new 52 and they're going back to the old 52 for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They're killing the Supermans and bringing back 2008 or 2000, like, I think it's 2008 Superman, and just being like, oh, everything's back to the way it is. Oh no.
I mean, everybody hated New 52 when it started. And then I assume everybody got used to it?
Yeah, it's sort of like, oh, I'm your parents, we're getting divorced, and then like a year later being like, never mind, we're getting back together. And then like, at their remarriage, just being like, you know what, let's just get divorced again. And it's just like, what's happening?
I like the idea that they do that at their wedding ceremony. They're like, JK, this is a divorce now. You're all invited to stay for the reception, but we're going to be very clear about which side you're on here.
We are keeping all of the gifts.
Because they have to have two separate households now, so they need two separate blenders or whatever it is people give as wedding gifts anymore. Target gift cards. I assume that's what married people want, right? Married people love Target.
Target's for everybody.
Yeah. So breaking your heart over that one, is there a title you are a little excited for, or is there a title you are particularly wrathful about?
Nothing really stands out to me. I'm sort of excited for the Batmans.
Yeah.
He's alive. And I'm assuming there's everybody since that movie came out, everybody's like, Batman's a dick, so I hope they make him a dick.
That's, I mean, what is Batman if not a dick? That's like the whole premise of Batman. Both because he's the world's greatest detective, so he's a private dick, and then also because he's kind of a dick.
True.
Bam.
Are you excited about anything in the DC or Marvel? Or?
I haven't been reading anything from either of them since, what was the Marvel Cataclysm or whatever, where they were like, you know, all these characters? We just spent, like, just over a year, I want to say, getting you really invested in. They're all, the universe is dead now.
That whole,
crisis or whatever.
Yeah, the Secret Wars. Or the...
Yeah. I don't... I mean, I feel on some level, like, this is my fake geek whatever, but if they're gonna be like, get really invested in these characters, and we're like, okay, sure, that seems fine. And then after, like, a year, not like long enough to build up complicated fucking continuity, but like a year and change, they're gonna be like, okay, JK, resetting that. It's not worth my time. They're just saying don't get invested because death is coming, and that's fine. It's useful to have a memento fucking mori, but I'm not gonna give them like $6 to $9 a month for that. I can just do that by looking in a mirror and being like, this flesh robot will decay around my mind. Or worse, my mind will decay inside this flesh robot. I don't need to give Marvel Comics money to remind me that everything I love will perish from this earth. So, no thanks.
Yeah, it seems sort of, excessive.
Yeah.
Just like pure untapped existential dread. Like the world imploding around us, but the trees and the bees dying. You don't need comics to like drive that, the impermanency of everything home.
Yeah, comics needs to be, and I realize this sort of directly contradicting previous statements I've made about not building up long and crumbling legacies so that it's harder for new fans to get into comics. Forget all that. That's exactly what comics needs to be. An area where nothing ever changes and nothing new can grow so that we aren't reminded of the impermanence of life. Just really drag that shit out, comic books.
Forever.
Yeah, forever and ever.
Yeah, you know, none of that weird Final Crisis stuff has happened. No nasty, weird, dark stuff. Just like Apple Pie in America.
I mean, early Batman's pretty weird. Semi-dark.
Yeah. But it's like dark in the way, oh, look at that junkie on the street corner. I'm just like...
I mean, yeah, we can go back to having Superman rather than, like, dying every three issues or whatever. He can just go back to dealing with mining collapses. That's a really good era in the life of Superman, right?
Those simpler times.
Yeah. I mean, mine collapses are pretty complicated. I don't mean to slight mine collapses. If you're in the middle of a collapsed mine listening to our podcast right now, we have nothing but sympathy for you.
Hope you get out.
Yeah. Hope you make it, bud. However, we would rather Superman deal with your situation than dying every two issues or whatevs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
blame Superman for your current plight.
Yeah, if he just really got back to what matters, e.g. mind collapses.
he's gonna be super dead soon. There's gonna be a new Chinese Superman, I think.
Yeah, Jin Yang is writing a Chinese Superman. I don't think I knew that Superman was gonna, like, die.
So it's probably a spin-off man.
I mean, I don't know either way. Could be either one. Certainly they do like to have the death of Superman. That's a cool event that everybody can have a nice time with, is killing the nation's most prominent Boy Scout. But maybe that's the next step for DC. If they can't go dark enough with this next one, they can just literally murder a Boy Scout convention.
A murderous Boy Scout convention would be a great comic.
Yeah, I would actually read the shit out of... I mean, it's basically every summer camp horror from the late 70s and all of the 80s. But Boy Scouts. So, perfect. I love it. That's how we're gonna make our first million.
Yeah, let's get writing.
Yeah, Boy Scout Murder Jamboree.
Writes itself. There's got to be that one fat kid who's afraid to take the shirt off while swimming, and then they're like, they have to try to sacrifice him, because you always sacrifice the fat kid.
It's the 2010s. Maybe he survives.
That's the hook.
That's the twist. they try to sacrifice him, but it goes wrong. It goes horribly wrong. And now he's murdering Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Cut it, print it. It's a hit.
Yeah, it's like printing money. This is the real key to comics fame that we're gonna pursue.
Just having weird stuff. This weird murderous, boy imprint.
Yeah, I mean, we can be, who's publishing Grindhouse these days? Dark Horse, I guess? Anyway, we can be, like, the Just Murders version. It'll be great. It'll be super good and productive. Yeah, so neither of us care that much about DC or Marvel right now. That's good to establish.
I did see Civil War.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was that? I hear Spider-Man was good.
Spider-Man was really good. He was like that right balance of like nerdy and jokey and sort of like, I don't belong here. What's puberty? He was pubing so hard, and it was like, he was awkward and super cool.
I guess that's the most interesting thing they could possibly have done with Spider-Man at this point. I heard Black Panther was good. I heard... That was most of it, was that Black Panther and Spider-Man were super good. And then that it was going out of its way to be really clear that Steve and Bucky are definitely not in love. Because they're definitely not in love. Steve is just gonna throw everything away for Bucky because he's definitely not in love with him at all.
Yeah, it's not like they spent 10 or so years in a shitty war that inevitably brought them closer and they know more about each other than anyone else.
They're not each other's strongest single emotional connection, and Steve's voice definitely didn't reach Bucky through however many decades of Soviet brainwashing. Just two heterosexual men having a really good time being heterosexuals together. But not, like, together. Just, you know, near each other.
Teasing a little. There was some like weird. There was a lot of homoeroticism going on, and it, like, they did a good job of not being like, this is the romance of this one, which I like. There was none of that bullshit, but there was a lot of like uncomfortable eye contact between Tony Stark and Captain. Just like, at first I was like, oh, they're mad at each other. But then when they get a little teary, it was like, oh, they might kiss.
Well, like, Steve did break up with Tony to be with Bucky, I guess. So you never know with that kind of thing. Maybe they're going to change their mind and get back together. It's basically a soap opera.
Yeah. It was very, it followed the formula pretty to the nail of a soap opera, but with more explosions and punching.
That's all anyone can hope for.
It was great. I was impressed, but not that. I was amused, not titillated, not taken on a journey, but I was taken on like a nice little ride through a pumpkin patch. It was a seasonal nice ride.
Yeah, it was like a hayride of superhero punching.
Yeah.
Like a haunted hayride. But instead of people dressed up as ghosts, it's issues of like allegorical weapon ownership, I guess. Spooky.
That is very spooky.
Yeah, guns shooting people is real spooky. That's the spookiest thing there is. That's amazing that we don't just have more Halloween decorations in America that are like, it's literally just a gun. It's very spooky.
Yeah, guns are scary.
Yeah, so I don't know why we bother with all this, like, skulls and ghost shit. Everyone knows that skulls aren't real. Just guns or whatever. I feel like the moment I'm waiting for in the Marvel movies, which I'm no longer even going to see, is I want Bucky to take off his arm and hit someone with it. Like, I want him to take off his weird metal arm. I want him to hit something with his metal arm while he holds it in his other arm. To me, I would pay full ticket price just for that scene.
I think you will get it one day. The metal arm comes up a lot. If I've learned anything from Marvel, it's that we should just stop pussyfooting around and just replace all our bones with metal.
Yeah.
Some sort of carbonite.
It'll be agonizingly painful, but we'll be much better for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see any problems with this whatsoever. So what else have you been reading, or have you been reading anything else that struck you especially? Or is it all just a sea of mediocrity?
Well, it's a little weird, but I've been getting really into, I've been on my manga life.
Yeah.
Because I'm cool like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been very into the genre of survival games, and a survival game manga is essentially a bunch of people get roped up in a nasty situation that looks like, oh, we're all getting free smoothies at the mall, and it's like, no, you have to play these games or I'll murder you. And they get put into teams, and then it's like, oh, this is awful. And there's a lot of blood and a lot of crying and personal revelations. it's sort of my favorite thing ever. But
wow.
Yeah, you should read Real Account, Because Real Account is a survival manga about basically Facebook, and these people get sucked into Facebook, and if their followers get to zero, they explode.
Oh, God.
It's very, very, I like it.
Yeah, wow, that's astonishing.
They do that whole, like, in media res thing during halfway point where it's just like, oh, we revealed this great big secret. Let's start a new chapter. Fuck it. Which sort of bugged me, but it's still good.
I'm looking at the wiki because I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. What are your questions? Maybe.
My questions are just why, God, why? That's really all of the questions that I have.
Fair. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, wasn't there a movie that people liked that was basically some schoolgirls are on an island and they have to murder each other until they're all dead?
Battle Royale.
Yeah. So, in general, is survival games as a genre basically that? Like, is it, or is there a significant, because that's, oh, it was a novel first. That's good to know.
I think it's the same thing. It's sort of the same general, like, it's a contest to see who wants to live more, or it's a crazy person being like, I just want to see a bunch of people get hurt. And then they're like, here are the rules. If you live, then you're awesome. If you don't, whoops. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Saw. I'm familiar with the concept. I've seen a lot of Saw. I've seen more Saw than any living person who's not a juggalo, probably. So I'm familiar with the concept of capture a bunch of people and make them realize things about themselves through murder. It's dear to my heart. Should watch the final Saw someday. Maybe that's what I'll do instead of reading this comic, is I'll just watch the last Saw over and over for however long it would take me to read the whole comic.
I got to Saw 7, right? Saw, like, 8.
Something like that. I always forget how many Saws there are.
Holy shit.
What?
I'm looking at the franchise, and there's, like, 8.
Yeah.
I was joking. But
there's 8. I don't know why you would assume, although, is Saw Legacy the 8th one, right? I don't think that exists yet. Or at least it doesn't have a Wikipedia page of its own. So I think there's actually only 7 of them. They're just sort of threatening us with an 8th one. Maybe that was somebody's Saw trap. Maybe they took the producer and they were like, okay, so either you can survive or you can start production on an 8th Saw movie. And he made the wrong choice.
Whoops.
Or possibly he made the right choice and they, like, he announced it and then his Saw trap happened. And that's why he's not dead, but also there's no Saw Legacy. That's the cheerfuller option. This has been actually a fairly grim episode so far. We've just talked a lot about murder.
Oh, jeez.
It just occurred to me now that that's been...
Well, we talked about Jonesy, and that was pretty...
Yeah, that was upbeat. So that gives us... That means we're allowed to talk about as much murder as we want for the rest of time.
Just quick, say something upbeat. Something.
The wrong
Oops.
demographic for that. I've been providing most of the murder so far. I read Why I Hate Saturn finally.
Nice.
Yeah.
What did you think?
He draws real good, which we already knew, but it continues to be a fact. That's most of what I have to say about it. It's just like some real good pictures. Whenever I read a comic about someone who is extremely depressed but also really talented and stylish, I always get really unreasonably resentful, and I'm like, maybe if I imitate their self-destructive lifestyle, I too could be extremely talented. But at this point, it's too late for me to become an alcoholic. It's just not likely.
You'd have a lot of catching up.
My liver is, well, I don't know. I assume my liver is fine. I haven't done anything to it that would make it not fine. But organs can always surprise you with, like, surprise failures. So I don't want to jinx myself, but I assume it's fine. So it would be a lot of work. Not that I don't believe in myself, but I figure if I'm gonna try real hard on something, it should probably be the talent rather than the self-destruction.
Yeah, you just bypass all that destruction and get to the payoff.
Yeah, just gotta get to the productivity part. That's like not a great takeaway from that comic, which has so many excellent things about it. But whenever I read something where people are impossibly stylish and bantery, I'm just like, maybe if I affected their self-destructive habits, that could be me. But no.
Well, we got Boy Scout Murder Jamboree to bank on.
Yeah, that's true. That's if nothing else, we may not write for a hip magazine, but someday we're gonna publish Boy Scout Murder Jamboree.
Also, Kyle Baker is a freak. That guy's like a monster.
Yeah, he's too good. Should be a crime.
His style is like, I want to love him a lot, and for the most part I do, but his style is still very old-timey cartoon, very. What's that? It's not Hanna-Barbera. It's like Tex Avery.
I mean, he's clearly influenced like heavily by old animation. I can see where that would be potentially like alienating to some readers. Certainly there are comics where I think it works better than others. I mean in general in his work. I feel like it's a little bit divided between stuff that I'm like, I would murder someone for the honor of this comic, and stuff where I'm like, I could not be paid enough money to read this all the way through. So.
Yeah, I'd pay for it, but I prefer to look it up on Google and then sort of piece together what's happening.
Like. Special Forces seems like it would not be an enjoyable read. Nothing I've seen about Special Forces suggests that I want to spend my time and energy on that, which is unfortunate, but I also understand that it's important to make money.
Yeah.
I don't know if it actually did make money, but it's got a lot of tits and ass, so I assume it made some money at least.
I feel like Kyle Baker doesn't make a lot off of comics, but he makes just a. He did some video for KRS-One, but he mostly like jumps between Marvel and DC, I think, just being like, I draw good. That's why I'm here. If you want like good drawing for an issue, hit me up. Otherwise, I'll be drawing boobies and butts and very detailed pizza slices.
lot of different stuff. I think he does some illustration. I mean, I'm conflicted on it. I hate being that person who's like, and also I am bothered by the amount of pinup art he does. But I am, in fact, bothered by that. And it can occasionally be distracting in work that I am otherwise enthused about. But I'm trying to pretend to be chiller than I actually am, so.
You don't like the fan art, like the... What kind of fan art does he do? Because I haven't even seen any.
I don't know from fan art. I'm talking about the pinup stuff in his actual work, like his published work.
Okay. I think I see what you mean now.
Yeah. It's not in everything, and it's certainly not distracting in everything. And given sort of the moment that special forces in the Iraq War are looking at, I definitely understand some of the politics behind that, and I sort of, you know, I think that's valuable and important, but also it's fraught. I feel like I'm avoiding making an actual nuanced point by just doing my nuanced point voice, which is when I go like, to indicate that I think there's something complicated, but I don't really feel able to, like, do anything with it at the moment, so I just make that noise and hope that it translates. He did, like, an animation series about his family, right? He did that for a minute.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know that that was commercially viable either. I sort of get the impression, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that in general, most of his projects have not been super commercially viable. Maybe yeah. I just get that impression because he talked about Why I Hate Saturn not being initially commercially viable because no one wanted to buy it. And then, you know, I don't think that Nat Turner was probably the most commercially viable. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that actually worked out pretty well. But I have a suspicion that it was not a moneymaker as far as projects go.
Yeah, probably not very, like, we're going to make this... We're going to Disney-fy this, make it into a hit.
Yeah, which is too bad, probably. I mean, thinking about, like, what that process would entail, I'm glad he made the book he wanted to make. It's an important book. But it's hard to get a sense of how his, because I know he had to self-publish it initially, and then it got collected. He did... like a 96 page volume of his cute comic about his family, I guess. And then spot work for DC and Marvel and Dark Horse. It looks like the last thing he's credited on Wikipedia, at least, I don't know when the last time this thing was updated, was like '09, and then did a bunch of Deadpool until 2012. So I don't know, it's sometimes hard to get a sense of how commercially viable a particularly important or popular in theory artist is, right? Like, I think people who love Kyle Baker's work really love Kyle Baker's work, but it's hard to get a sense of whether or not that's, you know, been commercially successful for him at all, and, like, what impact, because this is pure conjecture what impact that would have on what kinds of choices he makes about his content. So, shrug.
I always wondered. I read his, like, it's not called, I think it might be called You Should Be Here. It's like, You Are Here. And he's got this romanticized, he's very old Hollywood in his works. And so, like, oh, this down on his luck bum meets a gal and they ride off into the sunset and there's guns and we're on the top of a tower and there's jazz music and it's his writing isn't for me as good as his drawing, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I suspect he, with You Are Here, that was a specific choice he made about what that genre was. That he wanted to do that particular story in that particular style. And that he could have written a very different story if he wanted to. I'm not trying to say whether or not, and I haven't read that one. I've read little snippets of it. I like leafed through it at the bookstore the other day before going with Why I Hate Saturn instead. But I get the impression from, I don't know, the range of stuff he's written, right? That he can kind of do what he wants to do, or he's capable of writing in a bunch of different registers. So if he writes something that is not especially nuanced, it's reasonable to assume that that's a choice that he made. Because, like, you've read Why I Hate Saturn, right?
I actually haven't.
What? I thought you had.
No.
Okay.
Putting it on the list.
I might just mail you my copy now that I own one. Because I feel like it's more successful. I thought we had talked about it in the past. That's why I went with that one, because I thought you had read it. Whoops! Oops. I was wrong. I should have.
I may have tried to sound cool and been like, yeah, I read it. Fuck yeah. But I did not. I haven't read it.
I don't know. It was, that conversation was obviously like a couple years back. So, I probably just misremembered. Yeah, no, it's much more subtle. It's Looney Tunes, right? And I use that both deliberately to talk about the ways that Baker is interested in absurdity, but absurdity with a human edge. Or absurdity, I would say, in service to humanistic ends. So there's this bitter, drunken writer for a, like, monthly Peyton magazine or whatever, and her pal, and they do bantering about how they're miserable and their relationships never work out. And then her sister comes to live with her and alleges to be from Saturn and is suffering from a gunshot wound from her ex. And then it gets real.
Yikes. That sounds very different.
Yeah, it's definitely still heightened and absurd, but I compared it to, because I was trying to think through it for myself. It's a little bit like, you know how in Shakespeare, bear with me, they have the clown characters who are like extremely heightened and absurd and like not, they don't necessarily abide by social norms, but it's to get a point across, and to, they're usually like the really smart characters, but they're smart in a way that is about doing absurdity. They use being absurd to point out absurdity.
Okay, yeah.
You get a couple situations like that in Why I Hate Saturn. Like, the main character's sister insists that she is literally from Saturn. Literally from Saturn. And you get to see sort of how that plays out differently. How people different, like, respond to that different. She's, I'm not doing a great job describing this. Anyway, it has some moments where you're like, people would not have this conversation with each other, but we might be better if they did. Partly because it's like, people aren't necessarily actually this witty and bantery when they talk to each other. But it's not banter just in service of banter. There's always really strong underlying. I mean, the no, I put the book away and I'm not gonna go acquire it. It says something like, I took a photo of it so I could make Twitter pay attention to me, which Twitter does not do enough of, in fact. So that's my official call out post for Twitter.com is, excuse me, what do you all think you're doing?
Pay attention. Twitter, yeah. Come on.
Come the fuck on. So the back of the book is, how many times have you said to yourself, boy, I'd really like to find some intelligent, witty, socially redeeming contemporary fiction with pictures? And you can tell it's a joke, but that's also partly what he's actually doing. So around the edges of this sulky writer figuring out her relationship with her hippie sister, and then also herself and her failed love life and her friend, he finds a lot of space to write about social issues. But it's character driven, but you can also tell that he's one of the people who's really informed his characters by what kinds of social issues they likely face. So, it's much more subtle, I think, and much more, it's definitely not like a subtle book, because it has a standoff with, at some point, the ex-boyfriend who shot, this isn't too much of a spoiler, it is, but I'm gonna do it anyway. At some point, the ex-boyfriend who shot the sister shows up with, like, half an army. And then they have a rocket launcher fight. But in and around that, you get some really clever moments, which aren't necessarily subtle, but because of the way his drawing works and because of the way that they're played, if not deadpan, they're played pretty close to the chest, I think. People don't sit in their reaction to it for a really long time. They have their reaction, then you move on to the next thing. It's not loudly emotive. It ends up working really well, I think.
Oh, shit. that's some, like, using the absurd to make the stuff hidden inside yourself more visceral. And that sounds like some stuff that I'm very into, but it will most likely give me the feels, which is good.
It might well. I don't want to oversell it and then have it be a disappointment, but it's on Comixology now. 'Cause I was just reading about, he didn't own the rights to it for a while, 'cause he was trying to sell it as a movie, and then that didn't work out, but he just got the rights back quite recently. It's on Comixology now, allegedly, according to bleedingcool.com. Anyway, it opens with my favorite thing, on this or any world, or at least it spends a lot of time on my favorite thing, which is just two people who like each other, like, meanly bantering together, and you get a lot of that. So if nothing else, there's just a lot of banter, and it's really successful in that way. I'm just gonna go to Comixology and see if it's there. Volume 1 is up. Or issue 1.
What?
This
is Comixology.
What? Okay. Have you never used Comixology? Why is there only issue 1 up? What was the choice that went on there? Okay. Yeah, no, Comixology, you can buy e-comics, basically. Yeah.
It's... That new release is featuring Batman sign is unsettling.
Wow, yeah, that's actually extreme. That's bad. He doesn't look like Batman like he's gonna find you and murder you. He looks like Batman like he's masturbating outside your window.
Yeah, it's like, what is that? Yeah, it's like, come hither.
Yeah, I don't feel good about having said that, but just looking at his stupid face, he's like, it doesn't help that, like, because of the mask, it looks like he's got one eyebrow raised a little there and the narrowed eyes, and he's smiling a little. It's just bad. And they've given him uncommonly full lips for how Batman is usually drawn, which is really just increasing how uncomfortable this is. Because yeah, it's like, the rest of the face has, like, no detail going on, so it's just a luscious pair of lips and narrowed eyes gleaming in the darkness.
Like, Batman isn't supposed to have full lips and or smile while looking at you.
Yeah, it's too much eye contact. There's nothing, like, he doesn't have a nose on this as far as I can tell. So the only thing they've drawn is his lips and then darkness and then gleaming eyes looking right at you. And it's fucking me up. So I guess issue one is on Comixology of Why I Hate Saturn, but not the rest of it. And I don't understand that.
I'm going to do this and not steal it, because I am going to support the arts.
Well, if you like the first issue, I can just mail you the book, and then you can... We'll consider it an indefinite loan. And you can just, you know, in the conceivable event that I move back to the East Coast, you can just return it to me then. And if you don't like the first issue, no problem. You're wrong, but no problem.
There. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I just did a really smart, dumb thing.
Word?
Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna put the dryer doesn't work, so I'm gonna put it on a clothesline and turn a fan on.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know if it's working.
I mean, eventually stuff will dry just left to itself on a clothesline. That's how they did it before the invention of the fan.
Alright, then it's gravy. Okay, cool.
I mean, unless your room is just constantly 100% humidity, in which case it probably won't work. But I doubt that.
Oh, it's always moist in here.
I'm just going to make ringtones for people of you saying it's always moist in here, and I'm going to sell them for 99 cents a piece, and that's how we're going to fund a Prime subscription to, like, a full subscription to Podomatic. That's how we're going to get that extra storage space, is I'm going to sell people little clips of you saying it's always moist in here.
I hope people are into it. The moistness.
Well, they're not into the first one. They may be into you saying, I hope people are into it. Pause. The moistness. So we've got, like, three money-making ventures out of this podcast. Boy Scout Murder Jamboree, and then you saying things are moist.
Fortune 500, here we come.
Yeah. Just... We should go on Shark Tank and be like, cool, we've got two ideas for you today. Boy Scout Murder Jamboree and moist. Jesus. Well, I'm proud of us.
We did it.
Yeah. We beat capitalism at its own game.
Capitalism can't outsmart a bunch of entrepreneurs willing to take it to the next level.
Yeah. That's why fucking, even though Hampshire College has gone to shit with the entrepreneurship program, we're proof that you can become genius entrepreneurs without an entrepreneurship program.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking program.
Yeah. Good old-fashioned gumption.
I want gumption so bad.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It'd be real cool to have gumption.
We got gumption for days.
Yeah.
But it's like gumption for comics, and now we gotta transfer gumption
to actually living our fucking lives.
This is life right now.
This is real life. You die on the podcast. You die in real life.
That'd be a great survival manga.
Yeah, honestly. That'd be super good. We would be extremely dead because I see our Podomatic scores and it's not a good look.
Thanks. Keep listening. Keep listening, please.
Yeah, for the love of God, tell your friends about us.
This is the banking portion.
Yeah. What do you want Aaron to say? Because we'll have him say it on air. Just tell your friends. This is our version like a PBS pledge drive, but instead of a tote bag, just like, you'll say some words in your melodious-ass voice.
I'll send you hand-drawn Shreks.
Yeah, those are not to be missed out on. Aaron's better drawing Shrek than anyone I know.
Yeah, I went to school for it. Do you think Hampshire would have given me a degree if I just drew Shrek?
I mean, you would have to get that through the fine art program. I don't know. I hope so. Do we have other things we can just beg them for on air? As long as we're like...
get more viewers, please. Get us syndicated.
Yeah, get us real famous so we can just do this all the time.
Send food.
Yeah, just mail Aaron like an entire ham. That's my request to those of you out there in listener land.
Send like soup and non-perishables to her, please.
It's fine. I'll just die here and let my cat devour me. It's my destiny anyway.
If Maze tried to eat you, you would have like... I feel like you'd have a Saiyan fusion, and you'd become the same body.
We're sort of halfway there already, let's be honest. So, we'll just, yeah, that'll be our final form. We'll just merge ultimately. That's, I mean, something to look forward to.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, I feel like really Maze and I could both only become more obnoxious through our ultimate fusion. We would be much louder and much less coherent. It'll be fine. Yeah, so that's comics, I guess. I feel like we've talked about a comic. I'm going to call the podcast here only so that I don't have GarageBand shit the bed on me again. Because I'm getting anxious about it doing that. So, after her open begging portion of the show, that's the end.
That's it. Thanks for listening.